I'm sorry, there's no drinks. There's water and orange juice, maybe, who knows? Water and orange juice. But that's too healthy. Sounds a little healthy. All right. Glenlivet, there's Glenlivet up there. Okay, so I want to talk about a passage in the Gemara, Megillah, which is Kachem related. And the line is famous. It's about Haman coming forward. And he had to come and bring it. It's the sixth line from the top. It says at the end, 7 number 4 there. It says, V'yikach Haman. So, V'yikach Haman et alavush. Haman took the clothing, v'et asus, v'azal ashkechei diyosei rabbanon kameh. He saw the rabbanon were sitting there by Mordechai. U'mechavile hilchas kamitza l'rabbanon. He was showing the rabbis how to do hilchas kamitza. Kevan dechazia Mordechai de'afik l'kav l'suzei miyachi b'yadei mirsas amr l'rabbanon hai rishi l'miktal nafshekasi. They come to kill us. Zilu mekami d'lot chachelse b'hadi shaisen edatif Mordechai v'kam l'tzelusa. Ata haman v'yosef kameu v'orecha desalik Mordechai tzelusa amar b'may asikta. What are you doing? Amr le'vizman she'beis ha'migdash kaim. Mordechai is explaining. When the beis ha'migdash was around, man de'min nadev mincha ma'isei male komso. One who wants to pledge a mincha would bring a kometz of flour, umiskaper leon be a kapara. Amr lehu ata male kumtze kimcha ditchu vidachi asara alfik ikar kaspedidi. Comes your, you know, full amount of flour and pushes away the 10,000 kesef that I wanted to bring as the ransom to pay for the Jewish death. Right? Haman offered to pay to kill the Jews. I'll, whatever economic loss you're going to take because of them dead, I'll cover it. Haman said, once he saw this, I see that your flour, your kamitza, has pushed away, has out-bartered, so to speak, my 10,000. Okay? So it's a Hilchas kamitza issue. And I want to use that as a starting point for a broader discussion of what's going on in this Gemara and the sugya of kamitza in general. So all this is really in Menachos. Menachos is the second Gemara of Kachim, which deals with the laws of the flour offering. And that's a offering in the Beis Hamikdash whose prime ingredient is flour, either in raw or baked or fried cakes, which we have here all, we have steamed, we have all different types of dumplings here. Okay, fine. Now, you have, whether it's compared the avodas whether the avodas by a mincha are the same as other things or not the same, that's a whole discussion. What are the differences between a mincha and not? So the majority of mincha offerings have three ingredients. You have flour, you have oil, and you have lavona. Okay, a mincha offering has to have a minimum of an isaron. Isaron is 1/10 of an eifa, which is high grade wheat flour. Isaron, by the way, is around 43 eggs worth of the item. And the type of flour is known as solas, or very fine flour. Some mincha offerings, like the minchas nesachim, have two or three isaron. And a nedava, minchas nedava, has up to possibly 60 isaron of flour. Okay, the highly refined flour, that's by the way what we call solas, mincha solas. The mincha saomer and the mincha of the sota, that's barley flour, that's something else. That's a different flour entirely. The other, the second ingredient of a mincha is oil. Mincha generally has one log, that's six egg volumes of olive oil. The amount of olive oil added to a minchas nedava, voluntary mincha, that's a whole machlokas in the Mishnah. How much you add in? You have minchas nesachim. How much you put in of this oil? But that's the second ingredient. That's pretty much always there. Then most menachos always have the third thing, which is the lavona. Lavona, I think it was translated as frankincense. Is that the what we always said? Lavona, the frankincense. That's not mixed into the mincha. It's actually inedible, but it's put on top of it. And the amount of lavona you're going to need is what we call a kometz. Okay, a kometz, amount that fits into the middle three fingers of the hand when they fold over the palm. That area space right between there, shut my volume, is the amount. Okay, there are two types of minachos. There are minchas nedava and minchas chova. Voluntary ones, like the minchas soles, the minchas machavas, which was mincha that was offered after it was fried on a pan or a griddle. What do you say, machavas? And then there's a minchas marcheshes, that's a pan, marcheshes is a pan, which is after something being fried. And there's minchas mafe tanur, which has chalos and rakikim. Okay, there's all different types of menachos. Minchas chove is the minchas chota, someone who sinned, but is too poor that they can't bring an animal or whatever, so they bring the minchas chota. Then there's the minchas kenos, that's the mincha part of the process of one testing the sota woman. So that's that one's left unbaked, by the way. Then you have the minchas chavitin, that's brought, we did that actually the first year. That's brought every single day by the Kohen Gadol, and it has one isoran of solas with three log of oil, and it was baked in 12 log, and komets of lavona. Okay, that was the minchas chavitin. What?
What did they actually do with these things?
So the mincha, the lavona, the that one was divided up and eaten. Yeah, depends which one.
The
Kohanim ate them. And one, some was split by the Kohen Gadol and Kohanim.
Some were inedible.
Yeah. The minchas chinuch, so let's say for minchas chinuch, that's the inaugural mincha. He named it after that. The inaugural mincha, it's the mincha brought every single day by the Kohen, bought by every Kohen on the day that he's initiated into the service of the Avoda. And it's bought by the Kohen Gadol on the day that he's inaugurated as the Kohen Gadol. Okay, the produce is exactly like that of the Chavitin, but it's not offered in halves, but all at once. That's the only difference. Okay, there's also communal minchas offerings, the minchas ha'omer. This is a key one to know. Minchas ha'omer is the communal mincha. It's brought on the second day of Pesach, 16th of Nisan. It's made of barley that's harvested and mixed in a very special way, along with oil and lavona. And the komets of the grain and all the lavona are burnt on the mizbech. The rest is eaten by the kohen. The offering of that omer allows you to eat. The minchas omer allows you to eat the New Year's crop of grain, the chadash. That's what allows it.
It's not chametz.
What?
No issue of chametz.
That's a discussion as to how much it was allowed to leaven and mistama.
Well, most minachas were matzahs.
Most minachas were cakes, like little thin cakes, matzah cakes, very thin matzah cakes. The lechem aponim is the exception. That's when you got a little wider. Okay, so then you have lechem aponim. Okay, and then you have the shtei alechem on shvuas. That's mamish chametz. That's the one according to everyone is definitely chametz. The shtei alechem, the two loaves on Shavuos, and the famous Minchas Chinuch, who discusses why we have animal food on Pesach, and then you have human food on Shavuos. That's the evolution of a Jew going through that process. And then you have the Lachmei Toda and the Lachmei Nazir. Not for now. Okay, what's the process of a mincha? I'll give a couple more minutes just as a hakdama here to Menachas. So, you're already in Daf Yomi Menachas. We're still in Zvachim. So what you have first is you begin the process by first verbally declaring the ingredients. You're maktish the ingredients to be used and measured out the proper amount of flour and olive oil. And there were special utensils, kalim, in the Beis HaMikdash that were used for measuring these items out. Too much or too little is a psul in the offering. That's a Mishnah on Chaf Zayin Amud Aleph. Okay. So you have first the Mincha Solas. Small amount of oil is poured into a kli sharis, that's the special vessel, and that's called the matan shemen bekli. Matan shemen bekli is placing of the oil in the vessel. The flour is then added into the kli. More oil is poured on top of the flour, and the ingredients are mixed together. Then you have another application of oil, and together with that mix is called the belila, the mixing process. It's blended now with some of the oil. The mincha solis now gets its third pouring of oil, and that's called the yitzika. So the blila is the second one, the yitzika is the third one. Okay, the first one is called matan shemen bekli. It's put in there, flour is added into there, more oil is poured on top of it, mixed together. That's the first one, that's the matan shemen bekli. Then you have the blila, the second mixing, and then you have the yitzika. All that oil that remains of its log is then poured on the floor. You get rid of the rest, it's on the floor. A komets of lavona, the frankincense, is put on top of that. Okay? That's how you do a minchas solas. The minchas machavas, minchas marcheshes, that has a different structure, but you get the basic gist. Okay. By the way, that preparation does not require the kohen. The mixture is brought to the kohen, and it does one of the following. Tnufa. That's where you wave it around. The kohen takes the mincha, waves it in all four directions. Then there's hagasha. It's bringing it near the mizbeach. Okay, near the mizbeach. Okay. All right. That's the background to Menachos. Right there, those who don't go to Daf Yomi, There's the whole thing. That's the sugya of Menachos and a background to Menachos. Fine. We'll leave that be for now. You have a background. So you have this Gemara Megillah which says that Haman walks in on Mordechai and Mordechai is there teaching the rabbis the laws of Kamitza. And Haman says, essentially, you beat me. I see now that you beat me. And the question we have to ask is, what does that show you that you beat me, that he's doing Kamitza, that you knocked out my all my silver? Okay, so before we get into some of the Achronim I put there as to what they say on this Gemara, as to how they give pshat, a lot of Chassidusha pshat they might give there, I wanted to give you the main raid on Kamitza. Okay, so if you turn to the, let's see what page. I am Beis HaMabeis. Here in the beginning of the Perek Elu Menachos, I told him not to send that pancake thing.
They didn't send, right? The
what?
Tonight you should have sent the pancake. Right.
Oh my God. You blew it. Exactly. The Machavas. Oh, yeah, alright. No, no.
Chicken balls.
What? Instead they send chicken balls. Alright. Pigeon. Okay, fine. So the Mishnah in Menachos, I am Beis HaMabeis, says Elu Menachos. These are the menachos, nikmatzos v'shirem l'kohanim, minchasolas v'amachvas v'amarcheshes v'achalos v'arekikin, minchas ov dekochavim, minchas noshim, minchas haomer, minchas chote, u'minchas kenos. That's the list. I just gave you basically all of them. Here's the machlokas in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon says, minchas chote shel kohanim, nikmetzes, v'kometz karv li'atzmo, v'shirayim kraven li'atzmo. You have machlokas, Rabbi Shimon, and Chachamim. If the minchas kohanim, if the minchas chote of a kohanim needs kamitza or not, you have a machlokas, Rabbi Shimon, and the Chachamim. If the minchas chote of the kohanim need kamitza or not, okay, that's a simple machlokas. Simple machlokas. That's the most critical machlokas in all the entire sugya of kamitza. It's important because all the lumdis of Kamitza is learned from that little machlokas. Okay, so I'll say like this. On one hand, you could understand that machlokas. The machlokas of the Maisa Kamitza or not. The machlokas of the Maisa Kamitza, for example, the Chacham say that the minchas chote, the kohanim, don't need kamitza. Why? Because a minchas kohen isn't going to be eaten. It's going to be totally burnt. The minchas chote of the kohanim is totally burnt. There's no heter achila. The kamitza is essentially a matir. Okay? That's one way to look at it. Rabbi Shimon argues and says the kamitza... Right there, and that's... Oh, okay, good. Either one. The Kamitza, Rabbi Shimon argues and says, the Kamitza isn't only a matir, but rather it's mamish and ikar mitzvah. And therefore, even without the heter achila, there's a chiyuv to be mekametz. Okay, you understand the basic way to explain the machlokas? Let's say it again. By minchas chote kohanim, Rabbi Shimon and Chacham argue whether or not you need the Kamitza. What's the machlokas? So one way to explain the machlokas, a simple way to explain the machlokas, is since there's no heter achila anyways for the minchas chote shel kohanim, since there's no heter achila, so then forget it. So then there's no need for the kamitza. The kamitza is essentially a matir. You don't need to eat it, so what's the big deal? Rabbi Shimon says, no, regardless of whether you're going to eat it, you still need the kamitza. You mamish still need the kamitza because it's one of the fundamental elements of the mincha pratis. What?
It's a matir.
Meaning it's a matir for the achila. It's essentially the kamitza matir for achila. It's a matir. So the Chacham say, without the food, what do I need the matir? So chuck the kamitza. Rabbi Shimon says, kamitza is not just a matir. It's mamish ikar mitzvah of the menachos. And therefore, without it, you fail. You've done nothing.
The act of doing it or the amount?
What? Hold off on that. Okay. That's one of the major machlokasim by kamitza. So there's another way to explain this machlokas Rabbi Shimon and Chachamim. Perhaps even according to Rabbi Shimon, kamitza is, as Shia said, just a matir. Maybe even according to Rav Shimon, it's just a matir. So why then does Rav Shimon say you need the kamitza when you're not going to eat it? Well, you're not being matir any achila. So Rav Shimon says, there's something else that needs matzering here. It's a hekter lahatir hashirayim al mizbeach. It allows you to burn the shirayim on the mizbeach. That's the matzir. A proof to the second way of understanding. First way to understand the machlokas is the first opinion says that it's a matir, and therefore there's no achila. You don't need a matir. Forget the kamitza. Rabbi Shimon says no. It's not a matir. It's ikar mitzvah of mincha. It's one of the main mitzvahs of the korban mincha. Therefore you need it. Second way says no. Everyone agrees it's a matir. Just they're arguing over what it's being matir. Chacham says being matir the achila. Rabbi Shimon says being matir something else. A riot to the second way. I think is the Tosus and Yud Dalam and Aleph. That's on the page with your Dalet Amud Aleph. It's further in. It's the Tosus of the Halavona. He says it straight out. He says, here, the Lavona, which is the Kemitza Lavona, he gufa matir, shemateres shiroyim ba'achila. Ve'ikr dekol ha-maktarim morim, kwanim basar lo matzo achli. Mekom alocha shemater kevin dim nitmo nevdu shari basu achila. The Lavona ain't the matir was mizbeach v'lov yedumi d'shlamin. That was mizbeach matirin. I mean, he says no other words achila, but he also says it's matir the burning of the Lavona. I could read Tosis either way. I don't know. See that again. What do you think? The farish reshum de ain't lahem matirin la'adam lola mizbeach. Hare komets matira v'af v'shachol laktira kodem komets v'muchleel kodem kamitza mi'a ain't laktirim. Lo have your Lavona doing Shalom. The Lavona, he gufa matir. Shmatir shirayim ba'achila. Nah, it sounds more like the first way now that I read it. I thought that, 2 days ago it sounded like the other way. I'm not sure. So I think there's two ways to understand this machlokas when it comes to kamitza. Is the kamitza a matir or not? Is it matir or ikar mitzvah? Or everyone agrees it's a matir. Just what's it being matir? Maybe there's a third way to understand the machlokas Rav Shimon and Chachamim. Maybe in general Rav Shimon holds that kamitza is a matir. You can't avoid. You have this tosis, you have all these sources. I mean, you have to assume he holds it's a matir. However, maybe by the minchas chote shel kohanim, there the kamitza is yesodo mitzvah. You understand? In general, Rabbi Shimon agrees that a kamitz is a matir. There's no way of escaping that. And I don't want to spend too long trying to show you why you can't escape that. But everywhere you go, you see this idea that kamitz serves as a matir for the achila. So Rabbi Shimon has to agree to that in some principle. But maybe what he's saying over here is that in this instance, it's not a matir by minchas kohanim, minchas chotas kohanim. Maybe it's more, it's yesodas mitzvah. And therefore, that would be a little different. Okay, that's a third way to understand Rabbi Shimon. With those three ways, you have huge nafkaminas. You have huge nafkaminas between them. And I'll just explain a couple. One other chakira that's famous by kamitza. So you already have a couple of famous chakiras by kamitza. Another famous chakira when kamitza comes up is, what if you do the korban mincha before the kamitza? Remember, you need the kamitz. At the end, you have the shirayim, and the kamitzah tells you you can now burn the shirayim. So let's say you did the mincha itself. You did the flour and all that. You burnt it and all that. And now you do at the end, you put the lavona on it, and you make the kamitzah. You scoop up a kamitzah afterwards. So do you say, and this is the way the Brisker Rav asks it, Ha'im hu be'etzem shirayim v'kometz me'uravin yachad? Do you say that it's shirayim and komets mixed together? O neima shehu davar acher lagamrei im chalos shem bifnei atzmo. Or maybe it's like a new korban mincha. Maybe it's a new korban mincha at the end. And the Brisker Rav claims that this is a big machlokas rishonim, whether when you skip the order. So I think that machlokas ties beautifully into the three ways to understand the machlokas Reb Shimon and Chachamim. If you understand it as a matir, then you have no way to budge. You have to say it's a new korban. You can't. What you did is done. You now need to be matiring something else. You need to be matiring something new. You can't say what you have now is kamitza with shirayim. You're good. If you understand it as one of the yesodas of the mitzvah, you could also play it the other way and say that you're missing one of the main parts of the mitzvah. Your mincha was nothing. On the other hand, if it's just a matir, so now I have shirayim left and I can do it then. So either way you cut it, you could take this machlokas in a few different directions with the briskarav and the chakiras I gave you before and how to understand shitas Reb Shimon. Another sugya that comes up here, I'm just giving you a quick overview of the different sugyas that come up and then we'll get to Haman. Another issue is whether the maisa kamitza, this is a classic one, this, is the maisa kamitza yitziras ha-kometz, is it the creation of something called kometz, or is it about kemevarer ha-kometz mitochet ha-robes? Is it the separation or the creation of a kometz? Meaning, is it the anti-creation or is it a creation? By you doing kamitza, have you created what we've done, a yitziras ha-kometz? Or what you've done is you remove something from the other thing. It's sort of like borer. Are you taking good from bad or bad from good? And that's sort of what the issue is here. By kamitza, how do you understand what your action is doing? Is it just getting rid of the stuff you don't need? Or is it creating something new, something positive, a new entity called kamitza stuff? What's the kamitza? To get rid of the stuff that you don't need, you're not supposed to use? Or is it to build something that you are supposed to have? This machlok is like this of whether the thing you're doing is a creation or a negation. That's a machlokas often. You have it by schach, a famous issue of whether the purpose of the schach is to be a shade provider or a sunscreen. That's the same thing. Is it supposed to be yotzer something constructive, bring me shade, or is it supposed to be the elimination of something, the removal of sun? Which one is it, sunscreen or shade provider? That is nafkaminis as well. What if it's 50-50 and all those type of things? Above it has enough schach, but below it's more. When it has, there's a gemara, chaf beis and sukkah. When it has above, it's equal, but below, it's bigger. So that's going to tie into what the purpose of the schach was, shade provider or sunscreen. Okay, you have this often, is when the reason for the mitzvah, is it there to give you something positive or to remove something that's not supposed to be there? Okay, that's a classic machlokas here by kamitza. That's the kamitza. One proof, for example, the Mabit brings one way. Mabit says, you know, there's a need for Kiddush Mincha B'Kli. You have to have this stuff in a Kli so that the Kamitza should be done with the Kli Sharis. If it's just the anti-action, what do I care that it's so much the Kli Sharis? It only makes sense to require the Kamitza B'Kli Sharis if it's a positive, if it's a creation, if it's a Yetziras HaChefetz, if it's a creation of something powerful. Okay, that's that famous sugya. Another sugya over here. This was Ben was saying before I pushed you off before, is the chakira of, is by kamitza, the ikar maisa kamitza, the action of doing a maisa kamitza, or is the ikar hasagas shir chametz, the kometz, hasagas shir kometz, getting the shir kometz. Is it that I now have a shir kometz, or that I did a maisa kamitza? That opens up a whole other discussion as well. It's like the 6th, 7th chakira, famous chakira you have by kamitza. Okay, that's a classic. So again, that'll tie into, do you need a shear? How important, how critical is the shear over here in this whole discussion? Okay, how much the measurement, the amount you need. There is one more side machlokas, which is excellent. It's not used so much for kamitza, but it's important for Bein HaShmashos. I don't know if anybody went. I think you passed away. I missed the date. When's Rav Gettinger's the release? Avi, you went? Rav Gettinger's release of the of his Sefer on Bein HaShmashos. They had a whole event.
It's 2 hours it's like early, though. It's
what?
Like a week ago. 2 hours early, or it's only 3 hours early?
What is?
His shear is
not. Oh, very good. Got that out of the thing. Oh, right. Kissinger we're talking about. Okay. So the Bein HaShmashos, very good. Bein HaShmashos is like this. So the by Bein HaShmashos you have a machlokas. What, not machlokas. You have a discussion. What's the status of Bein HaShmashos? Safek Yom, Safek Laila. Right? The basic way to understand Bein HaShmashos is that it's a time that Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Lila, right? So the Ritva in Menachos has a pshat by Kamitza, that what about the Kamitza that's between the fingers, that's stuck between the fingers? So the Ritva says something to the effect that it's not flour with Lavona that's in a state of Suffolk. It's stuff that's yes Kamitza, no Kamitza. It's both. It has both. So some of the Achronim want to point out that that's the same shot by Bein HaShmashos. Bein HaShmashos is not a Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Laila. We know what it is. It's Bein HaShmashos. It's Vaday Bein HaShmashos. What is it? It's a little day. It's a little bit of night. It's Berbuvia. It's mixed together in a nice package. That's what Banish Mashas is. It's not a suffix. You don't know what it is, day or night. We know. It's got entities and properties of both. Once you explain it like that, by the way, it's much different than Sfeikas in the entire Torah. This is not a suffix. This is its own Vadai status. You don't know what to do about it. Psak-wise, that's a suffix in Psak. But that's not a suffix. It's a suffix in how to pask in the Shiloh. But that's not a suffix in what the Metzias is, or a suffix as to what happened, like by whether turtle juice squirted into a soup. That's got nothing to do with those kind of Shilohs. This is a totally different suffix once you explain it that way. Affects Bris Milah, affects everything now, once you explain the Machlokas like the Ritva. So the way to explain the Machlokas is learned from, Ritva gets it from Kamitza. That's why also another essential Chakira when you're talking about Kamitza. Again, the stuff in between, it's not suffix stuff, it's both. It's properties of both, when it's between the fingers. Okay, that's a background of Kamitza.
What practical purpose would calling it its own entity have? Because you still have to decide whether for halakhic purposes it's day or night.
So for Bena Shmashas now, usually we say suffix, let's say you say if something's day or night, or it has properties, if it's suffix day, suffix night, so maybe on something derabanan, suffix derabanan lukula, or suffix deraisa lukhumra. But now that I'm saying it's what's it called? That it's both. It's its own entity.
It's a third category.
That's also a further machlokes in the Ritva. Is Ritva trying to say that it's neither, it's its own entity, or is he saying it's got both in it, and you could satisfy both? You understand?
The same?
No, if it's neither, then for sure you haven't hit anything. Right. If it's
Shema,
right, if it's both, that's what allows us to be able to say the Mincha of Shema, still get away with Mincha, and also get away possibly with Marv. It has properties of both.
No, but my point is that it can't be the same as day, and it can't be the same as night.
Right, by definition, you end up with a new
right.
With a new chepza, either way.
So it might be a super entity that's got properties.
Yeah, yeah. What you're asking, what nafkaminis does it create?
So, effectively, you still have to decide what the...
I don't know. There's a lot of Torahs that are gone through as to why there would be huge differences by using the Ritva. I'm not so clear why there would be, okay, to be honest. What? Yeah. I mean, this child of how to understand suffix daris lechumer so you're rabbanu kula, since it might not apply at all when it's a suffix in din, you might have to be machmir either way. That's what would be one nafkamina.
My thinking was of you want tanner during the ilah.
I went to cut it. Why? Let me hear.
Well,
let's do it either way, but go ahead.
Because it makes it really not Yom Kippur anymore, so that's why you could. That makes it really not really Shabbos anymore.
You know what Ritva's saying? Ritva's saying it's not day, it's not night. You know what it is? It's day-night. So, whether you understand it to mean something different, that's a different word, or is it that's just both?
You say it by Neil either way, no?
No, but you're talking about Shabbos.
On Shabbos.
You say it by Neil.
You do say it, but yeah. You say the point is you say it because...
Why do you say it during the... Why do you say
right,
it
why are you still saying it?
Shabbos
right. It's not really Shabbos anymore.
Very good. There are properties of it that are not. Very good. Okay.
But it is Shabbos because you can't drive a car.
Make it be a suffix. Okay. All right. The that's the overview. So I gave you an overview of how a mincha works. We gave an overview of what a kamitza is, and I gave an overview of six or seven classic chakiras when it comes to the sugya of kamitza. Okay, classic chakiras with kamitza. Now, when you go through menachos and daf yomi, you could apply each of these chakiras into the equation. Now let's go back to the Megillah story. This in mind, we can now understand some of the different discussions that come up with Megillah. So, why did Haman say, you beat me by you guys studying Kamitza, you were able to beat me? What's the pshat in that? The most simple pshat, I think, is one we already gave this year. It was the very first year, when I gave you the Chafetz Chaim. What does the Chafetz Chaim say? Look at the second side of the first page. This is something said in the Dvar Torah in the Parsha. Uba Medrash Lamor. It says in the Medrash. Kolomar. Shiyomar Levnei Yisrael. Shiyas Asku Bekriyas Ola. That you tell Bnei Yisrael they should involve themselves in reading the Parshas of Ola. That Afal Pi Shemakriven Ola Oskimei Bekriyasa. Kadesha Yisku Bekorban Ola Kriyasa. That the saying of it also has a special kiyum. Chafetz Chaim was very big in this. This is one of, remember we saw several reasons why the Chafetz Chaim thought we should be learning Kachim. One of the reasons he thought we should be learning Kachim is because this factor, the saying of it, here he explains, Ubior hadavar nira, kishem shekava HaKadosh Baruch Hu shiitokno b'avonos lamala, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu instituted that sins should be able to fix al yidei maisa korban, the things we did wrong should be able to be fixed by a maisa korban. Kain kova od latakein b'shor shanem al yidei Torah shishor shakavonos. How do you fix the root problem? That's by getting to the root of what the korbanos are about. Where do you get to the root of the korbanos? It's the Torah of the korbanos. V'tzivam HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheyikru gamken haparsha. That's why God commanded that you also say the parsha of that korban. As it Chazal say in Yoma Davav, Amar Yochum Shir B'Shem Yochai, Minayin Sha'af Mikro Hafrasha Ma'akev. How do you know even the saying of the Hafrasha is Ma'akev? Ze HaDavar Asher Tziva Afilu Divar Ma'akev. Dibor Ma'akev. Ukayom Be'eis Shemais Segonas Ein Lanu Abavonas Erabim. But nowadays, since we have no Maisa Korbanas B'Poel, Sha'amikdash Chorov, the base of Mikdash is destroyed. Alkolponim mitzvahs limud hilchoseim yeshlanu. What we do have is the mitzvah of learning their halachas. Va'aleinu lehischazek lilmod dinei hakorbanos. And therefore, we have to be mechazek to learn the dinim of the korbanos. Va'yechshev lanu kamaisa hakorvasan. And if we consider it for us, a maisa hakrova. Okay, we consider it like us a maisa hakrova. Va'cheinhu bezoar hakodesh ha'iman demitgur bapumei. Those who mention with their mouths. Bebate knesios, ubate midrashos, in yone de kurbanya, the korbanos. How important it is to say korbanos in the morning. Vechavimba, bris krusahi, it's a covenant. Te inon malachin, inon malachia de midakrin, chovi livashile, deloyachulim evadlan elativo. That you're not going to be wiped out and bad won't happen to you, only good. It's a skula to say the korbanos. So based on all this, says the Chafetz Chaim, nira mizeha maimer. Sha'aleinu lezareiz es atzmeinu belimud hilchas korbanos. We have to mezareiz ourselves in learning hilchas korbanos. Shezed nashkit rucham shelam akatrigim. That will quiet those who try to attack us. Shelo levad shelo ikatrigaleinu ela sheod yomad aschus. On the contrary, they'll learn schus for us. Those who are enemies become our friends through the korbanos. Where do we find that? That's his proof. V'cheinu bebavli b'megillah tesayin. When Haman came to dress Mordechai and put the sus on him,
Put him on the sus.
He found the rabbis were sitting there and he was showing them Hilchas Kemitza. And Haman asked, why are you doing this? Bizman shebeis hamikdash kayam, man deminadev mincha, maisei malei kumsa desolsu mischaperle. Amrle asa malekum tzidit chu, v'dachi asara alfei kikari kesef didi, ad kana gemara. So here he says the Chafetz Chaim, l'chora yipale, ha'im be'eis hazos. This is strange. At this time, shemalshin rodesh achar nafsho lahamiso. When someone is coming after them to kill them, klum mesugo la'adam, Lilmod az inyanei korbanos. That's the time to learn korbanos, says the Chafetz Chaim. Elahu hadavar shekosav bezohar kadosh. This is what we already learned in the Zohar. Deschus limara korbanos moeles kol kach shafilu hakategor lo yachola ralo. Even our greatest enemies can't affect us. Ela alav lilmod schus that ata malekum tzuditchu. Hainu limud maise kemitza. Sha'ola b'makom ha'korban, ula aros bo sha'filu b'eishet tzar l'lal me'od. Even when someone's trying to hurt you, al yiftar atzmo malibun in yonei korbanos, davar yom b'yomo, v'inatzel mikol tzara. Amazing. To be safe from any tzara, learning about korbanos. That's what the Chafetz Chaim says. What he does not tell you is why specifically Mordechai was learning the inyon of kmitza. Of all the things.
Other parts of korbanos.
What?
Versus other parts of korbanos.
Could have been anything. Chafetz Chaim is answering why in Yonei Korbanos,
in general,
but not why Kamitza.
But he didn't say why Korbanos.
Yeah, he said.
No, he didn't. Okay, he didn't. He said why they were doing, but why is there a special segul or whatever for learning Korbanos and not something else?
Why is there a special segula for learning Korbanos and not anything else? Because the korban comes be'ikar to mechaper for our sins. The korban is there as a kapara. And the saying of it is getting to the reasons behind the kapara, and that itself is also the kapara. That's what the Chafetz Chaim understood. That's the special skula behind it. That's the special skula behind it. Okay.
Yes, the other theory is also the odds of them actually, like, according to Holland, they weren't going to make it to another. He was going to kill everybody before they got another transaction.
Right, the irony of it, they're being Oisik in the base of Migdash when they're not going to be, they believe they're going to be in the base of Migdash in a moment when they're supposed to be dead. Right, that's the classic pshat. Okay, that's the idea behind it. Chafetz Chaim gave you a few other reasons. Remember for why you're supposed to learn Kachim? Chafetz Chaim said because no one else in the world is doing it, someone has to keep it alive. Someone has to keep it alive. And meaning Hashem's going to look and make sure that every Aver was filled with, you know, every Torah is a different limb in this world. And God's going to look at the limb that was Korbanos and see that it got weak. No one was using it. And therefore, Chafetz Chaim says our schar is greater by learning it because we're the ones holding it up. Also, he says another reason is because, so we need to know what to do when the Mashiach comes. Everyone needs to have that knowledge base. And only those who are learning it are going to be able to... What?
The Kohanim have more of a chiyuv than Bnei Yisrael.
Right, they're the ones who have the Ikrav. That's why he started the yeshiva. The Chafetz Chaim was a Kohen. But his other reasons apply to non-Kohanim, which was someone to make sure to uphold the Torah, but you're right, that reason. So I think you could look at the Chafetz Chaim's three main reasons and come out with why Kamitza. Why Kamitza? What was the reason we saw here? The reason we saw here is because that it's the Kapara. Korbanos are the Ikr, Korbanos are the Ikr Kapara. That's what Korbanos are. Okay, so why were they learning? Why was Mordechai studying being Osek right now in the Korbanos? Meaning, I'm saying...
Protects you.
What I'm saying is, why Korbanos? What I want to answer. The Kamitzah, we don't want to answer. Why Korbanos? The Korbanos was there because... Why was he teaching that? Because that's their Kapara. He knows they messed up with Nena, Mesuda, Sachashverosh. They were losing their identity. So they were Osek in Kapara. They were Osek in Avodas HaKapara, which was the Korbanos. So that's the reason of Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim's other reason is to know what to do in the times of the Mashiach. Mamash, the entire Jewish people are going to be wiped out here. This is the end. From his Amuna, from the Amuna of Mordechai, is this is Mamash the end. Then it's the time of the Mashiach. We need to know what to do. We need to be holding in what to do over here. And then you take the other reason of the what's Chafetz Chaim, which was every single piece of the Torah needs to be held up in some way, needs to be sustained in some way. So, and through that Torah, you sustain the continuity of Torah. So that's Hadar V'Kiblu, right? Kimu V'Kiblu. The Jewish people reaffirmed their keeping of the Torah. Well, basically, they're keeping everything now, but the part they're not keeping is the Avodas HaMikdash. And therefore, that's why it could be that Mordechai was picking that part, because it's a time of Hadar V'Kiblu. They reaffirmed their commitment to the entire Torah, so Mordechai had to make sure they're learning the one thing that they need to know, because that's the one thing they're not doing L'maisa. How do you reaffirm the whole Torah? You do it all L'maisa. What's the one part they're not doing L'maisa? They need to... Remember, they have a deal. The Gemara in Shabbos says they need to reaffirm their commitment, or else they haven't accepted the Torah. So by doing the actions, they're showing they've reaffirmed their commitment to the Torah. That's... Hadar kimu v'kiblu, hadar v'kimu, right? But the part about Korbanos, they never reaffirmed their commitment to Korbanos. When was that going to be done? That was going to be done by him teaching them the laws of Korbanos. So
what about Taras and maybe Zrayim? People don't learn it, and you know, certainly in the Chafetz Chaim's time, people didn't practice it. Mm-hmm.
The Chafetz Chaim mentions, I remember in the introduction, he mentions about Zrayim, Tumah and Tahara. But the Tumah, why he thought the Avodas Korbanos was more important was because of the Kapara element. You have more reasons by the Kochim than he thought for the Zrayim. That's right, for the Tumah and Tahara, that element. I remember the Chafetz Chaim saying that. He discusses it in his introduction. Lakute Halachas, or whatever. Is Lakute Malshas. Okay, now let's get through some Chassidish.
Without Tahara, you can't bring be mafri with these Korbanos.
Right, you need a Hekatimta anyways. It's a good kasha. He felt the overwhelming amount of reasons to learn Kachim just trumped the Tahara. Even if it's first sequentially, it made us less relevant for us nowadays. Okay, if you look at now, turn towards the back. There's a sefer called Margolius HaShas. It's a wonderful sefer. What is that sefer? The Margolius HaShas is a sefer that collects for you all the Chassidish Avertloch on the Gemara. Great concept. Right? You want to open a Gemara, but you want a little Chassidish Torah. So what do you open? You can't open a Rosh, a Ran, anything. Well, the Chassidim will tell you that's Chassidish. But you can't, real Chassidish Torah that you can't find. So this Sefer Margolius HaShas is all just Chassidish Torah and the Sugyas. So look how beautiful, what a beautiful vort they have here.
Who's this?
The first one is from, who is this? The Admor Medborgsoz. You know what that is?
Berigsaz.
Where is that?
I've heard of it, but...
Beso Nos Desha Nissan, some journal. Memory. I don't know, but he quotes on the Mezitzer Magid. So if you need to quote the Vort over, just quote from the Mezitzer Magid. Wow. He puts the Kashitzer Magid together with the Mezitzer Magid, and he gets a beautiful Vort. Look at this fancy footwork.
Is Margolios HaShas?
It's in Margolios HaShas. Avikan Dvar Torah Noe. I'm going to bring you a beautiful Dvar Torah.
Who is Margolios HaShas?
It's a
compilation put together by Rav Aaron Perlow. Okay, not the Novi Minsker. Okay, so it says Avi kan divrei Torah Noah Sha'adayin lo hutfas Fagam lo pursam Rabin Klal. Something which was never published and never publicized at all. Right, it's great when you get a new chiddush in the world. It's never been heard, never been said. Here it is. Right, there's the Medrash that said, why is Torah compared to water? Because just like fish, when they... why are Jews compared to fish? That just like fish, they're in water all day. The second they get a new water, rain coming, they jump to the top like as though they've never had water before. So, so too with the Jewish people with Torah. When you get a new chiddush that's never been heard before, everyone gets so excited. Okay, so it says, Shoshama bebels. He said, we heard this vort in bells, mipe kotcho, from the holy mouth of Rav Aaron of Bells. Oh, so quote the name of Rav Aaron of Bells. Yibod l'chaim tovim, and Hagon Rabbi Shalom, we hear from both, Shalmaran Bells, Yibod l'chaim tovim, Hagon Rabbi Shalom Brander. I don't know which one said it. Hold on. Sheshama bebels mepek kotcho shalmaran. Zichrono, fine. Yibod l'chaim tov magon Rav Shalom Brander. Who's now, they weren't sure shlita, zecher tzadik l'bracha, different editions. So, be'eis ha-shulchan atar desudas yantif, at the holy table sudas yantif, v'gam kein zecher l'sudas Esther, shahaisa ka'amor b'hayoma, the famous sudas Esther that was in that day. He must be referring to something happened to the Jewish people then, that they had a ma'isa hatzolah. Fine. So Maran, meaning the Belzer Rebbe, says in the Gemara Megillah, "Demavur Sham ki Shabah Haman lifnei Mordechai," right, to go bring the clothes. So I'm going to skip that. That's the Gemara. You saw that already. Top of the next page. V'tamua b'Belzer. They wondered in Belzer. The Kevan Shem Asku Az be'emes b'Minchas Omer. What was it now? Second day of Pesach. Which Mincha is that? The Kemitza they were referring to is the Kemitza of the Minchas HaOmer, right? One of the ones we went to at the introduction, at the beginning of the Shir. One of them was the Minchas HaOmer, which is brought the second day of Pesach. I mean, Perish Rashi says that also. Lama lo amru ze etze lahaman. Why do you say daf stam? I'm being osik in the Kemitza of Stam. He didn't explain to him anything about the Minchas HaOmer. He went to explaining to him the basic Kemitza stam by a Mincha. Shebe'emes lo dibur mamish mezeh. He didn't discuss anything at all what specifically he was doing. So in order to answer that, the Belzer Rebbe first turned to a statement of the Koznitzer Magid. The Koznitzer Magid in Tehillim, on Kapitel Membeis, on the Pasuk. Get the full Pasuk.
Really good question.
What? If we're talking specifically about the Minchas Omer, why is his explanation in Tahaman is only about Minachos Stam? If you want to give him a shtuck and tell him what we're doing, and there's a hidden deep message, go straight for what you're doing. Don't give him a generality. Minchas, they have these things called kemitza. Okay, meaning if you're already going to go into teaching a Haman Torah, you're explaining what it is to keep a deep teacher message, why not go straight to what exactly you're doing?
Yeah, but also, it says Man Menadev Mincha. That they didn't mention which Mincha it was. They specifically talked about...
Right, and Minchas Nadava. Menadev Mincha, good. Okay, so the pasuk over here says, which is it here? The ki avor b'sachet. Where is that? Here, Eila eskara veshbacha l'nafshi. When I remember these things, I'll pour out my soul over here. Ki avor b'sach adadim ad beis elokim. How I went with everybody over there until the house of God. B'kol rina v'soda hamon chogeg, with the voice of joy and praise, and you know, people celebrating. Okay, that's the pasuk. The pasuk, that word there, interesting word, edadem. Edadem means like to lead them, ad beis elokim. Edadem, ad beis elokim. Okay, so he says, what is the kiavor b'sach adadem? Da kavanali mea svira. adadim hu lashon dad, like a breast. Shemerames al anava ketino kayonek mitei imo, like a baby who is nursing from the breasts of the mother. Ve'im, right, adad, it's the same root. Ve'im mashpil atzmo, and therefore if you mashpil yourself b'mei sfira, in the days of the sfira, which are the mem tes yom. Kenege keminyan adadim. Oh, very good. What's the gematria of adadim? The gematria of adadim is 49. What's 49? Is the sfira saomer. So it's referring to being in a state of adadim. What's adadim? Is to be suckling, so to speak. That's the adadim. Osa bezeh hachan al kabbalas haTorah. It's a state of putting yourself humble. I don't know why the imagery of adadim, of dad, is humility. I'm not sure. I think you're under something. You put yourself under something. You receive the milk from above, like sort of passively. So, v'hayinu ad beis elokim b'kol rina. Meaning, and... very good, Avi. Very good. You're right. You cough of yourself so that you need, you're dependent. The baby's dependent. The baby's right. Total dependence on the mother. Very good, Pshat. Very good. Very nice. So therefore, in this 49, if you make yourself like that, then you're going to be able to come to Kabbalah Satorah at the end of the 49, ad beis elokim b'kol rina, with joy and with rejoicing. Amo midvarav, what you see from the Magid Mekoshnitz, shetach lishal yamei svira, hi sha'adam yashpil atzmo v'yakir shiflu, so the person should lower themselves and recognize their lowliness. V'zehu ha'inyon shela omer, shemakrivim b'mei svira. That's the essential essence of Omer in the Sfira. L'rameiz al inyan shel shiflus va'anava. A person has to achieve a state of humility that a person needs to get at those times. Okay, so you take that vort now. Okay, you have the question. Here's the setup. Koshitzer Magid. This idea of the Sfira being a time of humility. Minimize that. Now, then he takes a vort from the Rabbarach Ber of Mezvitcher, the Mezvitcher Magid. He says, Eina chenami, this idea of humility is important. But says the Mezvitcher Magid, being a humble person for a Jew is only within themselves. So only within yourself. Jews privately and internally need to be humble. Aval klape agoyim, but relative to the goyim, tzrichem leida shivane otov mem. We behave in a certain way, a moral and ethical way. We have a standard, and a Jew has to be proud of that and acknowledge it. And we reach a certain, because we're able to reach a certain level. And that's why each time we took the broken luchos with us to war against the Akum. Why? L'rameis shafilu hashvarim shelanu. Even the broken ones of us, the lowliest ones of us, shel klai Yisrael negdam anu tamid yoser tov. We always behave with the moral compass. Harbe gavoy yoser mehem. We always behave with a certain moral...
Why does he say behave? He doesn't say the word. Where does he say behave? It's the anachmo tamid yoter tov.
Okay. Uki adua. Haperish ramaget hakodesh ramezrich. It says to the Magid, the Mezvitcher Magid, Ma'olam lo rasa chama pegimasa shalavana. It says that the sun never saw the deficiency of the moon. What does it mean, the lines? Maamar Chazal. The sun never saw the deficiency of the moon. What does it mean? The sun refers to the Akum. Hamonim limosa chama. They count from the solar calendar. Lavana, the moon, is referring to the lunar calendar. Meramiz li Yisrael, amonu aslavana. V'zehu apshatim ha'olam lo rasa akum ha'pagam v'chisaron shel Yisrael. The akum never sees the pagam and chisaron of Klal Yisrael. Dekenegdem anutamim b'taklus shleim. It's because from their perspective, their vantage point, they see perfection. All right, so you have to ask yourself, is that perception, you know, how does that perception play out? There's plenty to expound on that. Now, based on all that, you take the idea of the Mezvitcher Magid, you minimize it. You take the idea of the Koznitcher Magid, you put that down. And here you put it together. Al pi kola amor, musbar heitiv hagamara niskelel, de'ein hachanami sheim asku az binyane haomer. That, of course, they were osek then in the Omer. Yes, that was the time. That was the mincha they'd be learning about. Take the Chafetz Chaim. Why did I set you up with the Chafetz Chaim? The Chafetz Chaim is telling you, you're supposed to learn the korbanos when you can't do them. What's the korban that was that day? it was the time for the kmitza, for the korban mincha. It was the mincha saomer. That's what the Chafetz Chaim is telling you. He's giving you the answer to his question. Why kmitza? The Chafetz Chaim is directly giving an answer to that sugya. That's why they were doing that one. Shayem asku az binyanei haomer, shakavan bezesh tzrichem la'avodas atzma lahakir godel shiflus avodas Hashem Yisbarach. As the Magi Mikoshans, and a person needs to work at this time frame on how lowly they are. That's the avoda then. Therefore, when Haman came and asked them, what are they doing? They couldn't talk about, we're making ourselves nothing. We're making ourselves humble. We have a din that the Mezuter Magid says. Neged ha'akum, you need to know that you're strong and you're perfect. Ein banu pagam negdam, ve'ein anu shaychem la'omer negdam. From the perspective of when you're communicating with them, with the Hamans of the world, there's no mincha sa'omer. And that's why Mordechai just went into Pshat and Hilchas Kamitza Vesulo, and he said nothing more than that. Fabulous. I mean, if I understand it correctly, I have an answer. And I remember once I spoke at a wedding, and I talk about how the bride and groom should be the captains of their ship. It's a Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar. Lolam nase adam kabaranis. A person should make themselves like the captains of a ship. It should be lead the way. So there was a pastor there, a Christian pastor, who was a little off put by that idea. He's like, isn't that a little bit of too much pride, telling people to be captains in this world? Christian believes you walk meekly like a sheep. And I said, it was a shock to me that he said that. I'm like, no, I don't. We do this all the time, the Jews. You be strong, you go for it, you know. You go for the gold. There's always that idea in Judaism of not being afraid to set. You have zelu mazeh. You have this and that. Bishvili nivra olam. Right, two coins in the pockets. Right, that's the Rav Simcha Bunim Pshischa says every Jew should walk with a coin in their pocket with two sides. Right, you walk with one that says I'm strong and I'm nothing. So what he's adding over here from the Belzer Rebbe is that this two perspectives is not just within each of us, is what you show klape yourself. And what you show klape the world. Klape the world, you have to be strong and you're confident and that a Jew has a moral quality that we're not afraid of, we're not embarrassed of. Klape yourself, you beat yourself up. Why you haven't achieved anything with everything you've given. That you're lowly, you still could do so much more, all that. But klape the world, what he seems to be saying, the Belzer Rebbe, is they don't have to make yourself like a nothing, like a Jew's a nothing, a meek Jew in the corner that can't do anything. It's not the obligation of the Jewish people to be like that. To see themselves, by the way, like maybe someone said to me, the Jews should be more like the Amish. They lay low, they stay out of everybody's business, and they'll help when needed. I don't know if that's really the avoda of the Jew, just to stay and lay low out of everything. I'm a nobody. I'm nothing. That's
Yaakov's approach to Esav.
No? What?
That's Yaakov's approach to Esav.
Say better.
No, I mean, like, we're, you know, deferential and...
Right. There he was scared for the kid's life, but is that really the right... Right.
Then you throw him away.
Right. Okay, there's a discussion on what his behavior should have been around Yosef. Around Esav. Okay, let's stop there. There's a lot more Verdloch you could see here if you want, but I wanted to just use that because that tied nicely with the Chafetz Chaim and explain the Chafetz Chaim along with the Hasidisha twist.